Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Welcome to Bits About Books. Thank you for your time and for joining us in this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give you a shout out to each of you in our following episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Today we have with us Ramli John, the managing director at Product Led and author of the bestseller Product-Led Onboarding.
Yeah, there's many things that people are getting. First of all, they think it's the product team's job. It's that it often misses a lot of things that happens before a user signs up. Think about the positioning and messaging. Imagine if you sign up, for an app and you thought that you read the website, the email from the marketing team, and you thought it was a bookkeeping tool. You get into the app, and then it's actually a project management tool. There's no onboarding from the product that can save that experience just because there's a disconnect between the promise made with the promise experience. If that's true, then marketing and sales have to be involved in the onboarding experience, improving that experience, as well as customer success. I mean, once users have experienced that the product's value, it doesn't stop there. You need a team What do you do when a user calls customer success or support? What does that look like? Is the baton passed well? Like if you think about it like a relay, where teams fall is one person runs with a baton and they don't pass it well to the next team. And when you don't have that seamless customer journey experience for users, people drop off, users drop off, and that's when the cracks fall through in the onboarding experience.
Ramli John is the managing director at Product Led, where he works with companies like Mixpanel, Microsoft, Ubisoft to accelerate their growth by improving their user onboarding. An educator at heart, he has helped train hundreds of the world's fastest growing product led companies to level up their user onboarding experience and turn more users into lifelong customers. Ramli holds a Bachelor of Mathematics degree from the University of Waterloo and an MBA from Richard Ivey School of Business. He's a seasoned podcast host, first with the Growth Marketing Today show and now with the Product Led podcast, interviewing top product and marketing leaders such as Sean Ellis, April Dunford, and Hiten Shah. Now, onto this educative and actionable episode with Ramli John. Ramli, welcome to Bits About Books. I'm so glad that I could catch you the day your advanced copies are going out. And that's a real honor. And I'm so happy to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to talk about books. I know you've had Wes before, so it's an honor to be in the same show as him.
You guys are doing some amazing work, and I'm a big fan of what Wes is doing and how actually he came to do what he is doing. I mean, the path, the pivot and positioning, I think there's a lot to learn from what he has done. And this book looks like a very logical extension of the work you guys are doing at Product Led. So let's start. I mean, I can sort of guess, but let me not do that. When did you decide to write this book, Ramli?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that Wes and I have been thinking already about. You said it was a logical next step, and it is. Because what we found with a lot of sales-led company that's transitioning to product-led is when they're like, oh, let's be product-led. Let's like have this self-serve experience. The first thing that comes to their mind is we need to have a self-serve onboarding experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why they come to our site. And one of the highest traffic, one of the highest organic traffic article that we have is Wes's book, Wes's article on straight line onboarding. I'm sure he talks about this all the time, about this bowling alley framework that he has around onboarding. And we were seeing a lot of people just coming to this, and they're like, what is onboarding? How do we get it better? Because, like, I wrote in the book particularly that if you don't get your onboarding experience right, you're not going to have a – it's a crux of product-led growth essentially, because that's a path to a customer or a user becoming – experiencing the value of the product. And if they don't, then everything else falls apart. None of your pricing strategy, your product-led model, your retention strategy would not matter if you don't first nail that first time experience for users. So, I mean, we've been thinking about this for a year and a half already, when, like, right after Wes wrote his first book, it published What Is Next, and onboarding was logically the next one.
Right. We'll come back and dig into this a little bit more as to why, with this, you know, product-led growth has been in the focus, I would say, intensely over the last 24 months. I think before that, people were doing it. We know of many examples, but it was not sort of codified, so to say, and people were not looking at it the way they're looking at it today. So I understand the need to for people to get it. But what is it that people are not getting about getting onboarding right?
Yeah, there's many things that people are getting. I think there's a few things. First of all, they think it's the product team's job. Like, when you think product-led growth, product. Yeah. So yeah, it should be the product. The problem with that idea is that it often misses a lot of things that happens before a user signs up. Think about the positioning and messaging. Imagine if you sign up, imagine if you sign up for an app and you thought that you read the website, the email from the marketing team, and you thought it was a bookkeeping tool. You get into the app, and then it's actually a project management tool. There's no onboarding from the product that can save that experience, just because there's a disconnect between the promise made with the promise experience. So if that's true, then marketing and sales have to be involved in the onboarding experience, improving that experience, as well as customer success. I mean, once users have experienced that the product's value, it doesn't stop there. You need a team what do you do when a user calls customer success or support? What does that look like? Is the baton passed well? Like, if you think about it like a relay, where teams fall is one guy, just one person, just runs with a baton, and they don't pass it well to the next team. And when you don't have that seamless customer journey experience for users, people drop off, users drop off, and that's when the cracks fall through in the onboarding experience. It really needs to be a team effort, and that's what I often miss, is it's the product team. They're just, oh, who's going to be in charge of this? It's a product team, and it's just them, and they loop in marketing and customer success and sales way too late.
This is a very interesting topic because of a different reason. I'm currently doing a series on the show that I run on Sales Experts channel called The 5% Problem in B2B Sales Conversion. And my next topic is, how can, in a hyper-connected world, two departments, marketing and sales, in the same company, can't talk to each other? This looks like a classic example of that.
It is. It is definitely and people don't talk about this enough as well. Product-led growth won't work if the teams are siloed. What is product-led growth? It is being hyper-focused on delivering a customer experience that just just amazes users, that gets them to see the value and makes them purchase the value all the way from the beginning, the first touch point, all the way until they're lifelong customers.
Yeah.
And if it's siloed, what you see often, marketing and sales and product don't talk to marketing, customer success doesn't talk to sales, this is not going to work in a product-led organization. And it's the first, any company that's thinking about going from sales-led to product-led, don't think about pricing. Don't think about onboarding. The first thing you want to think about is, how do we build a cross-functional, it could be a small team, a tiger team, or a task force, a cross-functional team that will run product-led growth for our team. And they'll prove this out, because it needs to prove out that it does take a team. It takes a village to raise a product-led business. And that's one thing that Wes and I say all the time now.
Wonderful. So let's sort of double back to 1.5 years back when you said that we need to write this book. What happened next? I mean, how did you begin? When did you begin writing this book?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing that we did, and it's something that now I've talked to Rob Fitzpatrick. He wrote the book, The Mom Test. And April Dunford, she wrote the book, Obviously Awesome. Hmm. If people are thinking about writing a book, don't write it. Teach it. The first thing you want to do is teach it. And that's what we did. We taught it. We taught a onboarding program. And the beauty about teaching it live on cohort with people is you're testing out material. You're A-B testing what analogies work, what stories connect with people. And when you write it on a piece of paper and it's already a book, you don't see that reaction. So that's the first thing we did. We built out this program. We taught it last year. And then based on that, Wes and I figure out, okay, this story makes sense. That story doesn't work. It doesn't really connect. Okay, that analogy and that example makes sense. That one works. After we have that, we've taught it a few times in workshops. And that's when we formalized the layout or the structure of the book. The good thing about the other positive thing about teaching it is we already started structuring it the way that we would write it, just because that's how we're teaching it in modules. Right. Well, the modules are chapters essentially, right?
Right.
So now we have a structure from the course. We just translate into a structure for the book, and then I just started writing it. I started writing it last October. So I finished the first draft after 3 months. I put my head down. I just wrote it. And then after 3 months, I have the first draft. I did the 3 months of beta reading, which I got some readers or some community members to take a look at it. Some experts on onboarding and growth folks to take a look at it and read it just to verify, hey, am I making sense here? After 3 months of beta reading, then we did the final revision the last 2 months, and now we're here. So that's been the journey.
That's a great story. And the whole idea that teach the book before you write it, I think is a great takeaway for anybody who's listening to this podcast today.
Yeah.
And thinking of doing something similar. I think this is great. So tell me, before we get into actually the book and start discussing it, what kind of stories did you go into the course with, and what sort of got debunked that, this doesn't work? Tell us about a couple of stories that just failed.
I don't quite remember. There was a few stories around, I only remember the ones that ended up sticking around. I'm sorry. I mean, there was one definitely that stuck around. There's the analogy I have about around onboarding that stuck around. I don't remember what it was before,
right?
Because my comparison was onboarding is like cars, right? There's one of my dream cars is the Porsche GT, and it weighs 3,100 pounds and it has 635 horsepower. And then you compare that to my Corolla, right? It weighs 3,000 pounds and has 100 horsepower. I explained that look at the Porsche. It's a classic example of how to make things faster. You remove weight. It's actually 100 pounds lighter than my Corolla. And you can increase power. And that's 6 times more power than my Corolla. And the point is, if you're looking at improving your onboarding, time is important. Like if you want to race, it's like a race with a car. Time is important, and the fastest way to reduce your time is to pull out junk out of the car. You pull out the speaker, you pull out the seat, you pull out the spare tire, and it's the exact same thing with onboarding. It's when you gut it and you pull out the things, you can really get users to experience the time of the value quicker. I remember the first iteration of that, I don't quite remember, but people were like, this is... I had some feedback that's like, this is not making sense, and that analogy with a car and pulling things out made a lot of sense, because it's, you know, people understand, hey, I have a lot of junk in my car. It's probably slowing it down.
Right. That's great. What else came out of the teaching which you were not, I mean, obviously you know the subject, right? You guys know the subject, but what else came out of the teaching which found its way into the book?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of questions around tools, and we had to add a section, and we really didn't think about, like, hey, around measurement. Like, they were really asking about how do we measure every piece of that onboarding experience. Is Google Analytics enough? So that's a good thing about the teaching it first, is the questions can become extra material or even whole chapters.
Right.
So I had to add a whole section in one of the chapters just because it was like, oh, okay, we're getting a lot of questions around tools and tracking and analytics. We should probably talk about that in the book. So that's one other thing that we didn't originally have planned. But finding teaching it, realized like, oh, these questions are great. We should add it somewhere.
Right. Fantastic. Let's get to the book now. So when you, I mean, obviously, as you said, the structure came out on its own because of the course that you are teaching. So the course had its own cadence, and that cadence, I believe, found its way into your chapterization. What else did you have to do? Did you have to break it down further, or did you have to add some things to make it accessible to people who are not fully oriented to product-led growth? What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things that we got just talking to people is that getting buy-in for onboarding, to get buy-in from executive and CEOs, hey, we need to work on the onboarding experience, is a challenge. And when we were in the course, they already had the buy-in, right? They're 95, 98%, 99% of our students, their tuition is sponsored by their team, by the company. So they've already, obviously, they have some kind of buy-in already from the team if they're investing in their people to go to courses. But I dedicated another whole chapter around that. So like originally, like it's six, the framework is six steps, which aligns to a 6-week cohort, like Eureka. So six cohort, but then there was that extra chapter, the second chapter, describing why onboarding is the crux of product-led growth, was added because of that. Hey, the people who took this course, they already got buy-in, but there are people like that do need this. So even in the chapter itself, I do mention, hey, if you already got buy-in and you're excited about improving your onboarding, skip this chapter. Like I just tell them straight up, skip this chapter. If you need proof that you want to show to your manager, to your CEO, to your executive, to your team that onboarding is super important, this is the chapter for you. And I even go further. You can download this chapter for free as a PDF if you go to Eureka-chapter-2 and give it to them. Like I literally just give the chapter away for free so that they can get buy-in from their team. So that's one other thing that I mean, we had to add just because to your question, they might be a little earlier stage in trying to get buy-in for onboarding.
This is great. And this is also an example of how you use product-led growth in selling a book.
For sure.
Is it not? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're testing it out. Yeah.
It's time for a short break. I asked Ramli to explain to us the Eureka framework of user onboarding, which constitutes the core of the book. As we come back from the break, Ramli will walk us through the easy-to-remember framework, which can change the way you onboard your users tomorrow. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest-growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful, and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for Bits About Books and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. As we went into the break, I asked Ramli to explain to us the Eureka framework of user onboarding. Let us listen as Ramli explains. So let's dive into the meat, which is the second part, which is the Eureka framework. So walk me through the framework that you talk about in the book.
Yeah, we talked about the first one already. I was already getting to it. The first one is establishing an onboarding team. Like, it needs to be cross-functional. Once you do that, the second is understand your user's desired outcome. The way that I think about this now, it's like you have to know what the promised land looks like for users first before you can create a path towards them. Like, it's imagine going on a road trip and you don't know where you're going. Like, that's a terrible road trip. Yeah. So the second step is, what does success look like for users? And that involves jobs to be done, interviews, and just trying to understand what is their customer job? What is it? What it triggers them? What are they really looking for with the app? Once you have that, the third part is refining your onboarding milestones. So that's where I go into metrics and figuring out, hey, along that journey, how are you going to measure success for each milestone, from the sign up to the first value experience to finally when they've adopted the product to your life? That's the third part of the framework. The fourth is, once you have all of that, now you're going to map out a path. You're going to map out like a map for users to get to that promised land. What does that look like? What is the minimum number of steps? What is the minimum number of things they need to learn to get to the promised land for your product? And then the fifth is, well, that's when you start adding, the fifth is K, which stands for keep new users engaged. And that's where you add onboarding emails or in-app triggers like product tours and things like that to really get users to engage with your brand, with your product, with your with experience, so that they don't get bored. Like, that's one enemy of onboarding experiences. First of all, it's too tough. Second is, they get bored. Like, you don't want them to get bored and just drop out. The very last thing is just to analyze and repeat. I think the biggest thing that we see with teams, especially large teams that are trying to improve their onboarding, is they do a 3-6 month cycle where, hey, we're going to improve it. It's going to take us 3 months. We're going to do waterfall implementation style. And I'm telling them, hey, man, don't do that. Like, you want to do quick sprints and cycles to improve your onboarding. The quicker it is with experiments, the faster you'll get to the actual promised land for your users. So yeah, that's just the sixth step that we found is logically makes sense for improving onboarding. If people forget the beginning part, like the onboarding team, or do understanding your user desired outcome, or understanding the milestone, then it's gonna fall apart. What I often find is that when teams think about onboarding, they skip to the fifth step and like, let's just add product tours. And I'm like, dude, that's almost the end of the last step. And if you don't work up towards that, you're just going to be slapping on a product tour that will annoy users and that will get them out faster than they came in. Right. So that's why I would say, hey, do the prep work to really understand your users, and it would be a lot better experience than if you just slapped on a product tour.
So tell me, I mean, I can imagine why they try to skip to the fifth step. Because you have a bunch of products out there which can help you do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if it's a human thing or a marketer thing or a product thing or an entrepreneur thing. We get excited about new tools. Like, every time we see a new tool, it's like, let's try it out. Let's try this thing out. And often they have a free trial. So that's what they jump to, is tools. And even when we get this all the time, randomly, what is the best onboarding tool? Or other people, like growth folks, what is the best growth tool? Or if you're a designer, what is the best design tool? Tool is just a way to get there. It's like, you know, if you have the prep work, you have the blueprint, you have the map already, then the tool, it just comes naturally after that, I would say.
So I know you'll hate this question now that I'm going to ask. But I have to. Is there a tool which can implement the Eureka framework?
Not fully.
Okay.
What I have heard is one that is almost a full experience, from analytics to the whole experience, is Pendo. Like, we've heard over and over again from other teams, like, hey, we're implementing Pendo. They have the analytics. They can map. They can track every user events and help us see where users are dropping off, and they can implement product tours and guides and things like that. And that's just one thing that I've heard. I've actually not tried it before yet, but like several teams that we've talked to have mentioned Pendo. But there's other great ones. I don't want to give them hey, this is Grammarly's getting sponsored by Pendle here. there's app queues. There's user lists for emails for onboarding emails. There's user pilot, user flow, Chameleon as well. So there's a bunch of tools out there, and I would suggest people try it out. I mean, chances are they have free trial. go check out what you vibe with.
Yeah. I think the more known ones which are related to the fifth step are things like WhatFix and WalkMe and so on and so forth. And those also have a lot of free open source tools available in that space. Like in Bootstrap, you have a bunch of those which can do the same thing. But I can sort of imagine what people are trying to do without getting into understanding users' desired outcome. That's tough, right? And anything that is tough, we avoid. I have a product, please buy it and use it, but don't ask me to understand your outcome.
That's so true. I mean, we see that all the time. Like that's exactly what we see all the time as well. It's like, hey, just try it out. And then that they don't actually drive them to that outcome like you mentioned.
Yeah. It's difficult. Let's move to the last part of your book where you're talking of sales-assisted user onboarding. I want to know a little more about it because that's sort of the other side of product-led onboarding, right? So how does that find space and where does it fit in into the scheme of things?
Yeah, this is something that I get excited all the time because some people ask me, hey, Ramli, what's better, sales-led or product-led onboarding? And I tell them, hey, I actually don't believe pure product-led onboarding is the best. And the data backs this actually by First Point VC. There's a guy named Thomas Tungus. He did a study of like 200 SaaS companies. Mm-hmm. And what he found in terms of trial to paid conversion is that self-serve conversion is not the best. It's actually a hybrid approach. That's when sales assist certain users who actually raise up their hands like, hey, I need help. Like, especially for tools where you need to sell up to your manager or to your executive, they need those kind of people need the help to have the resources to like, hey, I love this tool, but I don't know how to sell this to my manager and executive. Can you please help me? Like that kind of users. Or another scenario is imagine if like classic example with Slack where 20 or 30 or 50 people from the same organization sign up for a free account. Somebody needs to say, hey, that's a missed opportunity. Like we need to go send somebody there to ask and talk to their executive and say, hey, 50 of your employees right now have signed up for our free account. They're finding value. If you sign up for our premium or executive account, then you will see that this, you'll get this and this and this. And my point here is that when sales get involved, people want that human touch. There's this misconception that people just want to be touchless. But when people get stuck, like who are they gonna ask for help? And sometimes it's just better to have a chat on the call itself. But the three keys here. First is will your sales team add value or will they be more friction? Like in a sales assisted, in a product led model or a hybrid model, so to speak, the sales team can be salesy. They come across as more consultative. They come across as more, hey, I want to help you achieve your outcome, your goal, your promised land. And that is my job because I know when you get successful, we will be successful. Our success is tied together. When you reach that value experience, we will prove out our value to you and you'll pay for that because it's proven. So that's the first thing is, are they adding value, the sales? Second is, are they reaching out at the right time? Often I see people right after they sign up, let's send the sales team in. I mean, that's a terrible plan. It will scare people away. That's where we can talk about the product qualified lead if it gets too deep. But essentially, find the users who have found value in the product already or have achieved something meaningful. And that's when the sales team can reach out and say, hey, congrats. Well, I would just like to congratulate you for achieving that. Is there anything I can do to help? So they come across once again as helpful, and they're also congratulating them. So that's a great time to actually send and the sales people. And I think the third thing is just that whole experience. Like how does when and how and where sales team reach out is super critical, and how they fit in with product and sales goes back to the onboarding team. It needs to be seamless. That needs to be well thought out. And it's something that often is missed. And product, some of the best product-led companies I've seen, the product and marketing, the product team, they join the sales meeting. They're weekly or monthly or quarterly meetings. They have one product guy there sitting in. And at the same time, the sales, they send over like an executive over to the product team to try to understand, hey, who are the qualified leads? What are they doing in the app? And at the same time, product can ask sales, like, are you reaching out too soon? What are words that you're saying? Are we aligned in our messaging? Are we aligned in how we're doing this so that the ball doesn't get dropped across the thing? And that's what I've been seeing is like hybrid or sales assisted onboarding really is the next evolution. We see this with HubSpot, where they went from very sales-led to a hybrid onboarding approach, to let's say Slack, where they went from a product-led self-serve onboarding to now a hybrid or sales-assisted onboarding approach. I find like if you're a B2B company, business-to-business, chances are you're going to land in a hybrid approach. Like that usually is what happens. You see this now with Dropbox, even with Canva. Like they're reaching out, they're high value accounts that are signing up. Somebody should be nurturing and carrying them. They sometimes do need a human touch. So that's what I see, and that's why I chatted about that a little bit in chapter 10 of the book.
Right, right. And you do say that this is the future of product led approach, which is the hybrid approach. What else do you see happening in this direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's most. I would say 99.9% of companies that start off as product led, as ones that are pure self serve, end up requiring a sales team because there's a lot of missed opportunities there. Right? There's the expansion strategy where it requires somebody pursuing those high value users. There are people who doesn't want to sign up for a free trial. That's the one thing that we don't talk about as well. Like we product led is like, oh, free trial, freemium is the best. Some people just want to talk to somebody, and just having a button on your site, get started for free, or contact sales or get a demo. Because you know you're segmenting now people who are coming to your site. Because executives from Apple or Microsoft, they don't have time to try out an app, and they just want to talk to somebody straight up. And that's something that people don't even think about, that there are some users or people who love talking to sales. Yeah. It's not me. I don't know about you, but there are some people who do love talking to sales, and they do want that touch right from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree, because see, even when you look at websites, for example, there's a lot of data, but who has the time to comb through? Suppose I'm looking at a particular kind of product and there are 10 products. How many websites can I comb through to get the essence of what I want, right?
Yeah. I'd rather talk to 10 salespeople or five, the top five. Like, just give me your 30-minute best pitch, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are people who want to do it like that, and that's fine. And for product-led companies who don't move to that hybrid approach, you're missing out in those opportunities.
Right.
And it's something that I see. If you're self-serve or product led right now, the natural evolution is to build out a sales function.
In the product led approach, the primary activity is to get somebody to sign up. So the freemium model plays a big role there to try it out, right? Yet we have these gaps in product messaging and expectation mismatch and so on and so forth. Do you see a role where products can actually say, hey, can you tell me what you want to solve? And I can tell you, I mean, we have AI, we have got natural language processing. I should be able to tell you, if you tell me in simple language, this is what I want to do with your app, I will be able to come back and tell you, you know what? We don't do that. Don't waste your time. or yes, you are in the right place. You're in the right place.
Right.
Do sign up.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you talking about a tool specifically or just a concept?
No, as a concept. No, as a concept.
I love it. I do talk about that straight up. Like I do say, hey, the clearer your messaging and positioning right from the get-go, the less users who there's less you hopefully there's less tire kickers because you want to say no to users who don't fit in so that they don't waste your product team's time, right?
Yeah.
I would even sometimes call it out like, hey, we're not good fit for XYZ right in your copy, and so that can now your point, you don't have to comb through the data. Like, why didn't this user reach the value point of our webs? It's because they're not a good fit, right? And you don't have to filter your data to say, okay, yeah, this person actually is from company XYZ and they're like not meant for our product. And this one's yes. So you don't have to figure out all of that thing. So I'm with you. Like I do straight up say this. You want to say no. You want to have your clear positioning and messaging so that you don't have to waste your product team or your customer success or your whole team's time to signing up from the get-go.
Great, Ramli. This was a great chat, and I think it's very important to get this straight because let's not make any mistake. We are living in a SaaS world, right? And more and more and more products will be digitized. More and more will be requiring digital adoption. And we need to understand how this piece actually plays out faster than we think we should. Last question. If you want people to take away one piece of advice from the book, what do you think it should be?
Yeah, I would say work on the foundational stuff before you think about the fancy stuff. When I say foundational, I'm thinking, hey, do we have the right people in this team to improve onboarding? Hey, do we know what success looks like for a user? That emotional, that functional, and that social success look like for a user? Because if we don't, then we might be mapping out people to the wrong promise line or the wrong direction. Hey, do we have the right analytics in place to say where are we dropping off? What does success look like for our onboarding team? And hey, have we mapped out like the minimum path towards there? Like those foundational stuff are often like we've seen it time. Wes and I have seen this time and time again, and it is often missed just because of what we talked about earlier. The principle, like we're too attracted to tools or new things or whatever it is, but we often miss that foundational. And I would say, hey, focus on that stuff first, and you will be more successful with successfully onboarding users and turning them to lifelong customers.
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Ramli, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I wish you all the best with the book. I'm sure, I mean, it has a lot of value for people. I'm sure it will be discovered sooner than later. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes with great conversations on breakthrough books with Melissa Madian and her book Enabler, I Hardly Know Her, an entertaining book on sales enablement. Brad Javens speaking on his book Agile Sales, Delivering Customer Journeys of Value and Delight. And Dr. Kevin Gazzara, author of the book Leader of Oz. We also have a lineup of Listener's Choice episodes featuring Stu Heinecke, Thomas Williams and more. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.